Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
How are you today? Hope everyone's having as good a Friday as I am. It's beautiful here in Pittsburgh today. I'm going to chat with you, and then I'm going to chat with my man Stan Saverin on the radio, and then I'm going to go to the gym and mow the lawn, and today's my sister's birthday. Probably see the fam for some pizza later on. Anyways, I'm Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. Belly up to my bar. Let's talk about last night's game. Let's talk about all the upcoming games. We are brought to you today by MyBookie, and I will tell you more about them later. But no Kubiak for this game. Disappointing loss for the Broncos for sure. And I don't put too much stock in Thursday night games, especially for the road team. They're so ugly, and I wish they'd go away. And actually, I'd like to incorporate that in my reviewing the whole schedule. Play 17 games, two byes. Yeah, we'll get into that later. Now's not the time. But that's how I would incorporate the Thursday games, is you'd have more time to prepare. Anyways, they didn't have their head coach. So I don't want to get too overreactive to this. Is that a word? But I'm also very open to the idea that Denver might be a B-minus team or a B team and not a real contender. And the biggest reason is they're not very good at quarterback. They're just not. This game started quick for San Diego, and they often do. I mean, their plus-minus in points in the first half is off the charts, that they often start quick, very hot, and we often know how it ends up as they find a way to lose, and they didn't in this game. Rivers was on fire. I thought he played a very efficient game. He killed the blitz, didn't make any mistakes, very accurate, put the ball where it needed to be for his guys to make plays after the catch. You know, precise effort from Rivers. Didn't wow you, but, you know, a very professional performance against an excellent defense, obviously. It was 10-point, you know, it was 10-0 pretty much before you knew it, after two really long drives. At one point, after that, right when it went to 10-0, the play differential favoring San Diego was 29 plays that they ran on two drives versus 5 plays that Denver ran. I mean, the 29-5 play differential at one point in this game. It's crazy. But Denver's defense played well. They stepped up in the red zone, often held them to 3. They did everything that they could be asked to do, to be very honest with you. They were great versus the run. They pressured Rivers with some consistency, just not enough, you know, overall. Hunter Henry was one of the absolute stories of this game. Rarely, and we've talked about this, rarely do you see rookie tight ends come in and make an impact. And clearly he's past Antonio Gates, who frankly looks like a shell of himself. I would be shocked if he plays past this year. But they have his heir apparent there. Obviously, there's a chemistry and a trust between him and Rivers. He's probably learned a lot from Gates. Really, really encouraging. You know, Hunter Henry looks fantastic. And really, the story of this game is San Diego's rookie class. You know, if we switch to the defensive side of the ball, Joey Bosa now for 2 games in a row has been a difference maker, a much-needed pass rusher, every-down guy, versatile. You can line him up all over the line of scrimmage. And Jatavis Brown has gotten a lot more playing time now since Tao's gone out. And he is a smaller, almost built like a safety, incredibly fast, incredibly athletic, highly productive Mac player that is translating it to the NFL. He had 13 tackles last night all over the field. Did Trevor Siemian ever throw the ball downfield? I mean, I know that's his MO, is he's Alex Smith to, you know, the 10th degree and does not want to unleash it. And I'm sure some of that is being coached into him that, you know, we'll win with defense and we're going to win 13-10. Well, sometimes your quarterback needs to make a play. And I just don't think he's a good player. I think that Lynch is very encouraging and will take over, but he's not ready. And I think this is enough to derail the season. And clearly, I think that's San Diego's game plan. That was the Bengals game plan, and he actually did throw the ball down the field against those guys. That's the only game he has. Is, hey, if you're going to beat us deep, beat us deep. Otherwise, we're going to crowd the short and intermediate zones and tackle and have guys like Brown flying to the ball. He threw the ball 50 times, and the combination of Demaryius Thomas and Manny Sanders had 9 catches for 75 yards. Against not really all that good corners. You know, Verrett and Flowers aren't even in. I mean, that's unacceptable. I mean, if that's how they're going to play you, and you have, you know, receivers like that, Manny, Demaryius, and you're going to get the ball to him 9 times on 50 throws, 75 yards. And really, Thomas had a terrible game too. But I don't know how you have a winning formula doing that. It's just too hard to do what they did last year. A bazillion second-half penalties for the Broncos too. So, I mean, even if they were playing better as they did and they, you know, could maybe make this a game and threaten to knock San Diego off and how San Diego loses games, they had too many penalties, too many errors that they put upon themselves. And one note, you know, is Russell Okung. He left the stadium in an ambulance after the game from concussion reasons. I'm not sure I've ever heard that for concussion reasons. It's scary. I haven't heard any more today. Obviously, I very much hope he's all right. But the one thing we talked about earlier in the week is the Broncos can't let Ty Sembrelo get back on the field. And he filled in at right tackle very poorly. Stevenson was back last night. That was huge for them. But if Sembrelo has to go to the left side, this offense could be in a world of hurting. So, huge win for the Chargers. As we've talked about many times, they're obviously much better than their record indicates. A big division win. They're not out of the playoff hunt yet. And this is a demoralizing blow to Denver. Let's not overreact too much considering they didn't have their head coach. They were on the road Thursday night. But I am very acute to the possibility that Denver is not a top team. Hi, Bookie. They are sponsoring us today. As you've probably caught on, we have a lot of sponsors now. You know, the Locked On Network is growing rapidly. And I'm sure sometimes you guys don't like to hear about them. But, hey, they're great sponsors. They're things that football fans like yourself, I'm sure, can use. MyBookie, MyBookie.net. Football season's here. I'm sure a few of you are out there are placing a bet or two. It's the most exciting online experience for sports fans. They do a really good job. MyBookie features real Vegas odds and incredible player props for every football game. My buddies are real into the props, and I get a question here and there about that at times. The game's already kicked off. They have the live in-games with odds updated in real time. I think that's a great feature. We've talked about that before, that you don't have to be in front of your computer and get your bet in at kickoff. You can do it afterwards, or even more importantly, maybe you want to do it afterwards. You know your favorite team. You watch them a little bit, and you're like, boy, they don't have it today. Or, yeah, I see they're down on the scoreboard, but they look fine. They'll bounce right back. You'll have a little more information to actually place your bet. That makes a lot of sense to me, so it's never too late to play. And it's optimized for smartphone users, so you can do this not in front of your TV. You can be out with the family at Target or whatever and still pay attention to the games and update your bets. But you go online, type MyBookie in your browser, sign up today, use the promo code LONFL, Locked On NFL, I think you figure that out, LONFL, and be entered into their $1 million prize pool, or call 844-722-2387. Join the thousands of online players already playing. Only the biggest, only the best, only at MyBookie. Sign up today. They really do a great job. So, now at this stage of the game, we are going to buzz through every game, and it's a really good slate of games. And bad teams are playing bad teams. Good teams are playing good teams. And probably won't come to fruition, but I feel like this is one of the weeks, or the week, more so than any, that I think will actually get really relevant data, more so than the other weeks, of, you know, teams that have good matchups to learn more about them, you know, to really keep our eyes open and figure out some things in this league. So let's dig right in. All right. On the 1 o'clock slate, we got the Niners going to Buffalo. This doesn't really qualify as a highly competitive game. A couple weeks ago, I would have thought so, as bottom feeders, as possible draft pick implications. But I'm on board that Buffalo's defense is legit. The offense is simplified in moving the football. Niners, a 1 o'clock start on the East Coast, though, they're a bad football team. And I don't know what they do in the passing game, you know, against that Buffalo secondary. I am very excited to see what Kaepernick will bring. Is he ready? Is he a fit? Is he any better than we saw him last? I do think Chip Kelly knows the stuff, especially about offensive football. Maybe he can get the most out of Kaepernick for the rest of the season. So that's highly intriguing for me, but I think Buffalo wins this game without a lot of resistance. Another big day for McCoy. He's had a huge season. He looks great. Bills defense is coming around. Pretty sure Darius is playing this one too. So, ooh. But here's a good one. Jacksonville at Chicago. I kind of want to believe on the Jags. You know, they won across the ocean. And then they went into a bye. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, they got a lot of young upside talent. Maybe they're starting to gel. A little more extra practice time. I certainly think the defense is real and is where it needs to be in terms of their growth. I have a lot of doubts about Bortles. You know, he really struggles on the road, and they start slow, and the line's not great. But they ran the ball last time we saw him. I know it wasn't a great opponent. I'm going to take the Jags, but I bet on Monday I'm going to say I'm mad at the Jags again. They let me down, you know. And Chicago's a quality team. You know, Hoyer's playing extremely well. I think they'll run the ball. Howard is legit. The inside interior line is legit. There are some pieces on defense. But Jacksonville's a more talented team. You know, which roster would you rather have? I'd rather have Jacksonville's. That doesn't mean they're going to win. But I do think this is the first game we'll talk about. I think we'll learn a lot about these teams. You know, if Jacksonville goes in there and beats Chicago, okay, you know, maybe you can win the South. Or maybe things are finally going in the right direction. If they go in there and they lose by 20, I'm done. You know, that's a wrap for the Jags and probably their coaching staff. Another interesting one, Rams at Lions. Is this the worst offense in football visiting the worst defense in football? Pretty darn close. Pretty darn close. I tend to trust Stafford even against a pretty good Rams defense, obviously. I'm not sure if Quinn and Brockers are going to play. Donald will be there. Tremaine Johnson will not. I think Stafford can have success through the air, though, against a beat-up secondary at home. But I keep thinking about this one, too. It's like all you guys that have Todd Gurley on your fantasy team. And check that out, the Locked On Fantasy Football podcast, too. Vinny does a real good job there. But this could be the game that your first-round pick of Gurley pays off. I mean, he might run for 180. In the dome, breaking long runs, highlight reel, all over NFL Network and SportsCenter after the game. So that is a big red flag for me. I'm not sure the Lions can stop anyone. I don't think Khalidi Nod is playing in this game. But they're at home. Trust their quarterback. I think that they'll move the ball pretty well. Give me the Lions. Steelers at Dolphins. Miami's a train wreck right now. The Steelers are a freight train right now. I think the Steelers roll these guys. In Tomlin's career, there is a game or two almost every year, usually on the road, where the Steelers, quote, let down. That really is the only way I can see this going Miami's way. Miami's offensive line is in shambles. They don't run the ball at all. They run very few plays on offense. And how does that secondary put up with Steelers' weapons? I just don't see it. I think the Steelers beat these guys bad. I also think the next game's a blowout. And I urge you to check out the article I wrote about the Bengals. You know, what's wrong with the Bengals? And there's a lot. And really, the reality of it is, I blame the front office a lot, is, you know, they're just not better anywhere than they were last year. They didn't do anything to really improve any aspect of this team. They kind of put it in neutral this offseason, thinking that, oh, we're good enough, we'll go back to the playoffs. Well, it doesn't work that way. Now you go to New England, and I think they get their doors blown off by the Pats. Their linebackers can't keep up with Gronk and Bennett. I think Brady will carve these guys up. You know Belichick's game plan will be very easy to decipher against the Bengals. Don't let A.J. Green beat us, and everybody else, see what you can do. See if you can keep up with Tom. I don't think you can. And I don't think you can. So I think this is a big-time win by the Pats. They begin their start to roll and show the league that they're possibly the best team in the league. Mentioned fantasy before. Carolina at Saints. Now, this is a game you want your fantasy players in. I mean, no defense for the Saints at all. No secondary for the Panthers. Cam should be back. Stewart should be back. If they're going to resurrect their season, they're going to do it now. Actually, they should have done it on Monday night. I keep harping on that game. That one drives me crazy. But I like the Saints at home. You know, the Saints and Breeze in particular are far more productive, far more potent in the dome at home. They have a lot of weapons. I think Cooks has a monster game against that secondary. I think Ingram runs on them. Again, this should be a very entertaining, high-scoring game. Could see it going either way. And there's a lot of games this week I can see going either way. There, you know, we haven't touched on all of them, but there's a lot of highly competitive games there. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if a game or two goes to overtime, or you know, a lot of games come down to a last-minute kick or a weird bounce. So I think this would be a highly entertaining slate of games. So I got the Saints in that one. Napa
Know How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How. Napa Know How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
This is another one. Ravens at Giants. I'm really interested to see what these two teams are going to tell us about themselves. I would imagine in typical Ravens fashion, it'll be a sloppy, low-scoring game that comes down to the end. I'm going to take the Giants because they're at home, but I really think these two are pretty equal teams, and I think I had the Ravens slightly ahead of them in the power ranks. If it was in Baltimore, I would definitely take Baltimore. I think that, you know, the Baltimore safeties are playing well. I don't think the Giants will run on them at all. I do think the Giants receivers have some advantages, though. But, man, Eli's playing bad. Eli's playing terrible. Flacco's not playing great either. But you would think that they'll feature West a lot more, take some deep shots. The Giants aren't rushing the passer very well, but the Baltimore O-line's kind of in flux. So, again, I mean, I think this is going to be a really, like, 21-20, you know, down to the wire. Watch till the very end. Don't turn the channel. I got the Giants. Browns at Titans. I can't take the Browns. I just can't take the Browns. I think Tennessee runs all over them. DeMarco Murray has, you know, 160 and 2 touches. Henry throws in another 40 or 50. Mariota does enough. Doesn't have to really threaten himself. Titans defense should keep these guys pretty well bottled up. It's in Tennessee. You know, I mentioned during power rank time that I think, you know, this might be the high water mark for the Titans season, that things are going pretty well for them overall. I think they get another win. And we might talk on Monday and say Tennessee's the class of the AFC South. I'm open to that possibility. Open to that possibility. I don't think they're anything close to a contender. But being the class of the AFC South is much different than being a contender. So I think Tennessee wins this game. The Eagles, without Lane Johnson, with Peters playing not, you know, like an old man, you know, like he's on his last stint, travel to Washington. Washington O-line is very impressive. They have a lot of weapons that I think DeSean Jackson and guys like that can exploit Philly's corners. But they don't have Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed's the straw. I mean, whenever I say somebody's a straw, the straw that stirs the drink, that's the, you know, that goes back to Reggie Jackson. You know, whenever he was holding up for money with the Yanks, he's like, I'm the straw that stirs the drink. I often say it about Geno Atkins with the Bengals defense. Well, Jordan Reed's the straw in Washington, and they don't have him. And that's big for Cousins against a really good defense. You know, you look at those four units, both offenses, both defenses, the Eagles defense is clearly the best of the four. I think Wentz is still playing extremely well. I think they'll run on Washington. Ryan Matthews could have a nice day. Give me the Eagles in this one. KC at Oakland. I think Andy Reid's like 95% win percentage or something crazy coming off a bye. I'm not a believer, though. And supposedly Jamaal Charles is 100% healthy, and he's ready to be the man and the Hall of Fame-type running back we saw before. Okay. I hope so. I am open to the idea that that could be a game-changer for this team. I think Oakland, though, at home, is just a better football team than the Chiefs. I like their passing game. I like their line. I think they have the better quarterback. I think their defense is coming around. But, again, this could be a game that really shows us a lot about both teams. I expect it to be close, you know. But I like Oakland at home. And I think Oakland starts to kind of put their stamp, especially after last night's game, that we're the team to beat in the AFC West. You know, I think they're the best team in the AFC West right now. And if they lose this game, my mind might change quite a bit. But I think they're ready to take the step. And this would be a big step, winning the big division game against a quality opponent, a well-coached team. Give me the Raiders. Dallas at Green Bay. And this is my next article I'm going to write. I'm going to write this at some point, probably after I hit the gym, actually. I'm always still wound up. I write a lot of articles after the gym, blood still pumping, all sweaty. Go up to my room and just churn out 1,000 words and then come back an hour or two and proofread it and send her in. That's one of my moves, if you care. Obviously, the talk here is Dallas's running game against Green Bay's run defense. Green Bay's run defense is the best in the league. Although, their schedule of opponents up till now have not exactly been Jim Brown and Eric Dickerson. You know, I mean, they haven't faced great running teams. And I think it's a little fluky, too, because their corners have been so banged up, the teams are game planning to throw on Green Bay. That being said, they still have the best run defense in the league. Dallas runs the ball extremely well, as everyone knows. They go as their running game goes. And I think they can shorten the game. And in that matchup, I'm going to give the nod to Dallas. I think Dallas will run the ball against, quote, the best run defense in the league, especially with Tyron Smith coming back, especially with Dez Bryant coming back, that it's going to be harder. You know, Green Bay didn't even do it last game. They rarely brought an extra guy in the box. They always played with two high. And with Dez in the game, they might have to do that a fair amount, too, because he is a dangerous, dangerous guy, especially against these corners. But I'm going to take the Packers because they're at home. And again, this is a game I think we'll learn a lot about both teams. I'm still not quite sold on that Packer offense. Rodgers, the passing game, it's not the same as it was a couple years ago. Jordy's not quite the same as it was a couple years ago. It's still a little random for my liking. You know, you get 6 seconds to throw and finally complete a pass last week. That was an odd game against the Giants. I don't question Rodgers, but I also am starting to put some feelers out that, boy, this offense is too Rodgers dependent, and maybe he's not Superman anymore. Maybe he's taking a slight step back and just asked too much. Green Bay at home is hard to bet against, so I'm taking the Packers. But Dallas could play their game and run the ball, and Elliott could have a nice day, and Dak doesn't make mistakes, and Dez breaks off a big play, and Dallas controls the ball for 35 minutes on the road. They could win this game, and that would really show me a lot. I'm going to sound like a Falcons hater because I'm taking Seattle in this game, and I'm not even hesitating, but I just think it's Seattle's that good. I think Seattle, we might talk on Monday, and we'll just be like, yeah, Seattle's the best team in the league. I think they're ready to do that. I think Tyler Lockett's ready to explode. Jimmy Graham is back. Christian Michael's a stud. Wilson is now healthier, you would guess. You know, that he's not hobbling around anymore. The defense is as good as any in the league. Another week for Coach Cable to coach up that offensive line, you know, on the bye. I kind of look at this team, with the possible exception of the O-line, which it always is a team without a weakness. And not even a team with a mediocre area besides the O-line. I mean, that everything's a strength. And they know how to win. Worst place in the world to go play. So I like Atlanta a lot. I'm on the train. Especially the offense. I'm not quite sold on the defense, to say the least. But guys like, you know, Keanu Neal and Vic Beasley and Trufant. Trufant's a stud. But if those guys can all live up to their abilities, that could go a long way to keeping this team highly, highly competitive. Maybe these guys meet again. Going to Seattle, though, I mean, I don't care who it is. I mean, pick any of the 31 teams, and I would take Seattle in that game. I'm extremely high on the Seahawks. And right now, gun to my head, I might pick them to be the Super Bowl champs. I really like what I'm seeing in the future. My crystal ball says Seattle's ready to show the league that they are a dominant team. Colts at Texans. This game means a lot, and we have to watch it on primetime Sunday night because it's a division game in a terrible division. Houston's currently leading the division, but they're playing probably the worst football of any of the four teams. I don't want to pick either one of these teams. I'm not a believer in either one of these teams, but again, it should tell us a lot. I trust Luck more than I trust Osweiler. I'm going to take the Colts reluctantly, highly reluctantly, because there's not a lot for me to get excited on either side for these teams. You know, neither one has a very good offensive line, although I think Indy's is probably better than Houston's at this point. Houston's defense is certainly better than the Colts. But I'm going to take Luck in this one. I don't have a great reason why. I just have a hard time putting my ducats on the Texans right now in any way, shape, or form. I really don't like what's happening there at all. I don't trust Osweiler. Colts on the road, it's hard to spit out. It's hard to put a buck down on the Colts on the road. But all right, I'm in. And then Jets at Cardinals, and this will be a game that I think is highly not competitive. I think the Jets' ship has sailed. No Decker. Puts too much stress on Fitz. He's incapable of handling that. I don't think they'll run on the Cardinals. And most importantly, as great as Brandon Marshall is, and he's really the biggest bright spot by far on really the team, but especially the offense, he's got Patrick Peterson all game. That's rough. You know, and Marshall might get his still. He did against Sherman. But he's not going to dominate. And I just don't think the Jets' offense has enough other than that. I could see a bounce-back game for Palmer. I could see John Brown getting behind that defense. They've been allowing a lot of big plays. You know Larry's going to get his. Maybe Johnson doesn't run the ball, have a lot of running room, but I bet he does really well in the passing game against those linebackers and safety. So I think the Jets are doomed in this one. So there you have it. Quick rundown of every game. And I'm sure you'd like to hear more about your favorite team. Go to Locked On Jets, Locked On Texans, Locked On Colts, whatever. Excuse me. And they will dig much deeper into it. But there you have it. I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for stopping by. Check out my bookie. And that's a wrap. Have a great weekend.
Hi, I'm Paul. Verizon has been placing giant letters all over the country to get people to buy into their unlimited plan. Don't get hooked. Switch to Sprint Unlimited, $22.50 per month per line for 4 lines and get the 5th line free. Hurry to your local Sprint store, visit sprint.com/unlimited or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today.
Savings until 10/31/18, then $38 per line per month for 5 lines with auto pay, excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, streams, video, PHC 1080p, music to 1.5 megabits per second, gaming up to 8 megabits per second, subject to credit, $30 activation fee, prohibited network use, tools and data deprioritization apply. Compared to Verizon Beyond Unlimited, carry features, different coverage and offer not everywhere, restrictions apply.